Pastor Mark is taking a couple of weeks off, and it's my privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you today. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm sure that there are some people here today, and maybe a lot of people around, not just here, but other places, who would say, what would Christmas be without a good sale? Right? I mean, if I can help it, I won't buy anything retail. I mean, I'm just, sales are my best friend. How about you? Is that true for you? Anybody else? Is that, sales are your best friend? Man, I just look for a good sale. Love good sale. But then when all the presents are unwrapped and all the family visits are done, and what can be better than an after Christmas sale? And so this is a time of year where people will go out to the stores and they'll buy their ribbons and their paper and their bows and all the supplies for next year, right? Because you can get them for next to nothing, and who doesn't like to get something for almost nothing? But of course, we need to look beyond that this time of year. Nothing wrong with doing that, but it's good for us to take some time to think about Christmas beyond all the buying. And this week, as I was thinking about what was happening during the Christmas season, I began to think about what happens after the Christmas season. Now what? We tend to spend a lot of time thinking about the pre-Christmas preparations, and a ton of energy goes into all the pre-Christmas activities, preparing for the day of Christmas, but I'd like to take some time today to think about what happened after Christmas. And so we're going to read our passage this morning, and then we're going to take a look at it. Luke chapter 2, I'm beginning in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Have you heard this before? I mean, a couple of times, right? Pastor Mark even preached through this passage. We're going to look at it at a little different slant, though, today. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, I want us to think about this for a minute. Over 2,000 years ago, peace and joy actually came after Christmas. We often think about peace and joy and doing all the things that will bring peace and joy into our homes pre-season, hoping that peace and joy will be with us at the occasion of Christmas Day. And yet, have you ever thought about the fact that peace and joy actually came after Christmas? Oh, we bake all the goodies and we do all the preparing of the big meal and we buy all the gifts, and sometimes for people we don't even like. And then after all the food is eaten, and I don't know about you, but I think I put on a few pounds. And now it's time to go on a diet again. And after all the gifts are open, there's nothing under the tree and all the wrapping and paper is in the garbage and all the relatives have gone home. Then what? Now what? It's kind of anticlimactic, isn't it? In fact, this is a time of year when a lot of people go into kind of a depression because they have been on the high. you know, for a month at least, or maybe a couple of months. And now all of a sudden it's all over and they just kind of crash. I want us to think about Christmas from another perspective. Maybe something that will encourage your hearts and lift you up and help you to see it from a different angle. God carefully wrapped up his special gift, his son, Jesus Christ, and he laid him in a manger, and then he told a bunch of ragtag shepherds to come and see. And in turn, and after they had come and seen the child, the Christ child, they went out to announce the after Christmas shepherd's sale. Some of you have already asked this morning, what in the world is that all about? What, are we going to have shepherd's pie, somebody said? Look at it again, beginning in verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. What is the after Christmas shepherd's sale? Well, it speaks of, first of all, treasuring. What is it that you treasure the most? What do you treasure most? Maybe you received something really special this Christmas, and that's your new treasure for a while, till it gets old, wears out, forget about it. Or maybe it's something old. Maybe something that has been passed down to you from another generation, and you treasure that. It's a treasure to you. It's what you feel some emotion about. A treasure speaks of something that is of great value and worth. The Bible says back in Matthew chapter 2 that the wise men came 2 years later to the Christ child who was now in a house, and they offered to him treasures that they had brought and presented them before Jesus. And now here in Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds came to see Jesus and they saw Mary and Joseph with the baby, they had responded to what the angels had said to them. And in Luke chapter 2, when they saw what had been told to them, when they saw this Christ child, the Bible says, And they told Mary what they had seen, the Bible says, but Mary, she treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. In other words, those words that the shepherds told to her were precious to her. She pondered them. She remembered them. I'm certain that as Mary was standing before the cross where Christ was being crucified, that she must have remembered the words that the Savior was born who would bring joy and peace to all people. Maybe a little confusing to her. And what about us? What does God say about us? Well, God's people. What does he say about God's people? Back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. This is what he says of Israel. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, God treasures Israel. He says, I chose you. You're my own. You're my treasure. What about us? What about us today? Well, over in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter declares, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God places a special value on us, his treasured people. You're a chosen possession. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's you. He's talking about you when he's talking about that. That you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you. And if there isn't anything else or anyone else who has made you feel valued, or special or loved, then I need you to remember this, that you are a special treasure to God, something that He highly values, that He wants to take care of. You're His treasure. I believe that the message the angels delivered to the shepherds that night was something that they must have treasured in their hearts. And the moment they laid eyes on the Savior, it was more than simply a sentimental moment, but the moment they laid eyes on the Savior, that was a God moment. Because for the first time ever in the history of mankind, they looked into the face of God. It was a God moment where the reality of eternity entered into their hearts and their lives. And I think the lesson for us today is that we ought not to treasure the season as much as we treasure the Savior of the season. Treasure Jesus Christ. Take time to discover the value and the message of His life and His work so that you aren't simply storing up treasures in this world, but rather that you're also storing up treasures in heaven that have been written in your heart. Take time to treasure the Savior of the season. So, the after Christmas shepherd's sale first speaks of treasuring, but it also speaks of telling. I want you to notice what happens after the shepherds see the baby. What happens after? Verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And what was it that they had been told about the child? Well, remember the words of the angel back in verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you today has been born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The King James Version uses the phrase glad tidings. I really like that. It's a phrase that could be used for any kind of joyful news. The grandkids are coming over this afternoon. That could be joyful news, right? A new baby is on its way. That's joyful news. Hey, we're going on a big vacation. That could be joyful news. Could be used of any kind of joyful news. But the good news the angels brought was the coming of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ to the world, which is what they had been waiting for. And so they went everywhere telling people that the Savior, the Messiah, had been born. And that tells me something about these shepherds. They weren't just any ordinary shepherds. These were shepherds who knew God. They believed in what the prophets had said. They knew the Scripture, obviously. They were obedient to the Scriptures. They listened to the Lord, to the angels. They went out and they saw what they had been waiting for. It tells me that these shepherds were godly shepherds, even though they weren't allowed into the temple to worship, even though they were disregarded by society. These were shepherds that knew God. And how could they not tell other people about what they had seen? They truly believed that the Messiah had been born, the one whom the prophets had foretold for generations. Did you know that what people talk about the most is the thing they treasure the most? When you talk to people, just listen to what they talk about the most. Some people, you know, they just talk about their job all the time. It's this job, what they do. They just love their job. They just talk about it all the time. It's their treasure. Some people can't stop talking about their grandchildren. Have you noticed that? Here, let me show you. It's on my phone with pictures. And, you know, it's their treasure. Some people talk about their pets, their treasures. Some people, they talk about their stocks and what they're investing in. It's their treasure. People will talk for hours and hours about their favorite sports teams and give you all the stats and and who they're following and who's winning and who's losing. It's their treasure. I'm not saying there's anything wrong about talking about those things, but have you ever been with somebody who they just talk all the time about Jesus? It's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Have you? I have. And it's refreshing, is it not? Now, some people say, oh, man, I don't talk to them anymore. They're like fanatical. All they ever talk about is Jesus. Well, that makes you fanatical. Because all you talk about is your job, or all you talk about is your kids or your grandkids. You're fanatical too. Hey, I would rather somebody be fanatical about Jesus above anything else. It's refreshing to talk to somebody who their treasure is Jesus, and you know that about them because that's all they want to talk about. And it helps us to grow. And it helps us to be encouraged to hear people talking about him. We treasure what we talk about. And the shepherds obviously treasured what they had seen because they went everywhere telling everybody they came in contact with about what had happened. I challenge you in the next few days as we enter into the new year. And as you begin thinking about the new year, I challenge you to begin talking more about Jesus. When you greet people, talk to them about Jesus. How was your Christmas? Oh, isn't Jesus good? It was such a wonderful time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Don't just tell them about the gifts that you received, the big family meal, the things that you did. Talk about Jesus. Share with them what is your treasure. And you can do that anywhere. It can be in the grocery store line. Oh, how was your Christmas? Oh, it was a wonderful Christ-filled holiday. You could even just say Merry Christmas, which we don't hear a whole lot anymore. And that's talking about Jesus too. So let's think about that this year. Let's shift our mentality and let's make our treasure Jesus and let's talk about him. I also want you to notice that the After Christmas Shepherd Sale is about returning. I have to tell you that when I started thinking about this topic this week and looking at the shepherds and what they did after Christmas happened, after the birth happened, I got kind of excited. It would be kind of great, you know, to think that the shepherds were asked by the Bethlehem Christian Organization of Really Great Eternal Life-Changing Experiences to go on a speaking tour and maybe even eventually write a book entitled The Shepherd's Encounter with Christmas. You know, isn't that a great title? The Shepherd's Encounter with Christmas. But the truth is, if that didn't happen... The truth is that the shepherds, they went back to their fields and their flocks. They went back to work. They didn't write a book. We read something about what they did, but they didn't write that. Luke wrote that down. They didn't go on a speaking tour, although they spoke to everyone they came across about what they had seen and heard. No. They went right back to their fields. They went back to tending sheep. We don't even know their names. We'll know them someday. They'll be in glory. But we don't know their names. Let me ask you, what will you be doing next week? Going back to your work. Some will return to school. You'll go back to cleaning house and changing diapers. And the question is, has anything changed because you've encountered Christmas? Has anything changed? Luke chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." You see the difference in their lives? They came to see, they went away changed. Once their heart was full of curiosity, and now it's full of glory, full of worth, full of honor. They came with questions in their mouth. Now they go away praising God with their mouth. They came with hope in their heart. They go away fulfilled, knowing the truth. I think the shepherds must have realized that they, when they went back to their ordinary lives, when they went back to shepherding sheep, when they went back to tending those sheep, that God is with us everywhere. Have you thought about that? God is with us everywhere. Well, think about the words of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And what is she going to call his name? Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel. It points to Jesus as deity, part of the Godhead. God the Son came to live amongst us. And so God came to earth in human form. But when Jesus left this earth, what did he say? John chapter 14, verse 16. He said to the disciples, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for a couple of days after I leave. Is that what he said? No. He said, who will abide with you forever, forever. Of course, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. Let me break that down for you. That Greek word, another, means another of the same kind. Somebody just like Jesus himself who would take his place and continue the work. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word for helper means one called alongside to help. It carries the idea of encouraging, exhorting. Somebody gave the illustration of when whales have a little baby whale, what that mother whale does is comes up underneath that baby whale and lifts it to the surface so that it could breathe. They have to surface once in a while to breathe. That's a really good illustration of the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. Sometimes you feel like you're underwater and can't breathe. Isn't that true? And the Holy Spirit's ministry is to come up under us and he lifts us to the surface so that we can catch a breath. He's a helper. He encourages us. And that word abide has to do with his permanent residence in the believer. He abides with us. He didn't come just temporarily. He comes when we receive Christ as our Savior, make him the Lord of our lives, say, Jesus, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. The Holy Spirit enters into our lives. That's the baptism of the Spirit. He comes in to abide with us and to live with us forever. It's clear that God is with us wherever we go. So often, some people just assign Jesus to church. They just assign him to Sunday morning. But the reality is that he's found in our everyday lives. He goes to work with us. Why? Because he's in you. And whether the authorities like it or not, he enters into classrooms and schools. And he's in the government offices. And he infiltrates the police forces and the military forces. The world can try to shut him up and move him out, but wherever there's a follower of Jesus Christ, God is there. God is there. When you enter into a hospital room with a person who is sick or dying, you are the presence of God in that person's life. You bring God with you. When you go visit a shut-in, a senior, to encourage them, God is there because you bring the presence of God with you. When you enter into a group of people who don't know Jesus, and maybe it's a family gathering and none of them are Christians, or maybe it's a company party of some sort, none of them know the Lord, you bring God into the room with you. You're a representation of God. In fact, that's why the Bible says that we become ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We become his ambassadors, but more than that, we carry him with us. We become the representation of God. I'm not saying we're God. Don't get that in your mind. We're not God, but God is in us by the Holy Spirit. We bring him into that occasion. And maybe we're the only ones that they will ever see or experience that brings God into the room. What an after Christmas sale God is giving us. Amen. And as we move into this new season, I just want to encourage us to make God look good by treasuring Him. Make Him the center of your life. Make Him part of your conversations. Treasure Him in your hearts. Reading Scripture every day, as we're encouraging you to do. That's treasuring Him. And then by telling others about Him. The shepherds could hardly wait to tell other people what they had seen and heard. And that's the way it is when something significant happens in our lives. We want to tell other people about that. Has Jesus made that kind of an impression on your life that you want to tell other people about Him? I hope so. Wherever you go, we always have opportunities to speak about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you have to stand there and give, you know, a 20-minute speech to somebody, but you can speak for Jesus wherever you are. I was at the gymnasium one day, and this lady behind the desk, she was having a hip replacement, and I've never told her who I was, really, or that I'm a pastor or anything like that, but her and I, we would just say hello to one another casually as I came in and went out, and we might, you know, speak a couple of words to each other, and I said, how are you today? And she said, well, I'm having my hip replaced. I won't see you for a couple of months. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm happy. I hope it works out well. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And right there in that gymnasium with all kinds of people working out around us and people coming in and out, she says, oh, yes, I would love that. And she bowed her head. I don't know that she's a Christian. I don't think she is. And I prayed for her. You see, you're speaking, you're always looking for opportunities to speak Jesus into people's lives. And we have those opportunities all around us. Let's speak for Jesus this year. And finally, let's make Him look good by returning. By returning to our ordinary life, realizing that He's with you wherever you go. And that you might be the only representation of Jesus that some people will ever see. Maybe you're the only Bible they will ever open. How well are we representing Jesus in our world today? You see, the post-Christmas season doesn't have to be anticlimactic. In fact, it can be the best part of our year. After all, it's the after-Christmas shepherd sale. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the season that we've experienced. And thank you for the season we are experiencing even now. The after Christmas season. When we get to rejoice over what you have done by coming to this earth and paying the penalty for our sins. Ultimately dying on a cross and taking the punishment that I deserve. Thank you for doing that. We rejoice in you. Help us, Lord, to make you the treasure of our lives this year. Help us, Lord, to speak of you often and about you often. May your name be on our lips wherever we go. And let us tell people. Let us treasure and tell. We thank you, Lord, for these opportunities. Thank you for making us your own, for treasuring us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.